uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. It's Thursday into Friday, the 18th into the 19th, 2011 of August here. And again, so glad you could be with us. Thanks to everybody for staying up late with us as usual and hanging out and being here for the live show. If you're listening on a rebroadcast or on a YouTube video, thanks so much for tuning in, listening as well. If you're a new listener, thanks for finding the broadcast and being a part of the show. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. Links to listen live, archive shows, all of my films that I've made so far are up there. Also, mini films, clips from the show, all kinds of good stuff. And you can go there, theglobalreality.com, find all that stuff. Also, the chat room. There's always people chatting in the chat room. It's a good place to hang out and meet like-minded people and discuss things and share info and pick up info and everything else. And we got quite an eclectic group in there. I see all kinds of, people are people helping each other with their fix their computers in there all the time. And we got a pretty savvy bunch of people over here that are, you know, kind of like me, jack of all trades, master of none. And, so it's a good place to meet those people tonight. I started a little later tonight. The last night I started earlier because I had such a lot of stuff to cover. Tonight I started a little later because not as much material tonight, but definitely some important stuff to talk about. So we'll get into some news as well. Love to have emails from you during the show or anytime. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. If you want to send something in during the show, and if you have a question you want to ask me during the show, want me to read your question live on air, even if you're not getting it into the live show while it's live, you can send it in if you're listening on a rebroadcast, and I'll go through and make sure I get into it on the next show. I try to. I'm sorry. I know sometimes I miss some of you guys' emails. It happens. I'll read it. I'll read something. I'll go back and, fuck, where'd that email go? So we get a few emails tonight we'll read as well. We're also going to be continuing to read in our series of reading from the Lost Book of Enki, page 234 for you tonight, the account of the new place of the Celestial Chariots. We left off last night with sort of the rebuilding process on Earth afterwards. So, and here's the, you know, it's just amazing to see the parallels between, you know, sort of what our elite do and what these elite have done. It's pretty, you know, first they order everybody destroyed, and then once they find out some people are living, they're like, oh, well, there's actually some humans left. Well, fuck, let's, now we need more of the gold. Now they just change their mind everywhere. So we'll get into reading more of that for you here on the show tonight. So welcome everybody, and thanks for being here with us on the broadcast. Let's start out with the emails tonight. Let's see what we have. Not a lot. There's just a couple so far. But again, you can send them in during the show tonight, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. And I'll do my best to get into that for you here on the show tonight. This one comes from Zohair. He says, hi, Josh, this is Zohair. Last time you mentioned the Twin Towers being Jachin and Boaz, the pillars at the entrance of the Temple of Solomon. So the Twin Towers were the entrance to the Temple of Solomon. And, of course, Building 7 was the Temple of Solomon itself. Building 7 was known as the Solomon Brothers Building. That's correct. So clearly the 9/11 ritual was one about symbolically, I would say symbolically, destroying the Temple of Solomon. The human brain is located between our temples. And don't forget, they had a big, you know, black cube that's pointed in the direction of Mecca there between those Twin Towers as well. A lot of people forget that. You guys ever seen the Michael Jackson, Diana Ross movie, The Wiz? If you haven't seen that, it's pretty interesting. At the end of the movie, when they go to the Emerald City, and the Emerald City is the fucking Trade Centers, the World Trade Centers, and they've got it all lit up and green, and they're all dancing around it and shit, and the big fucking cube. It's just crazy, man. The stuff that they've thrown in through the years, long before 9/11 ever happened, you know, it's taken us, you know, 10 years to find all these little things, but it's all there. The human brain is located between our temples, the two soft spots on the side of our forehead. So by destroying the temple, these magi priests are basically destroying our reasoning ability and putting us into a reality of cognitive dissonance and fear. Does this make any sense? It absolutely makes sense. No, that's 100% what it was. So here, you're right. You're correct. What did they do with it? What did this ritual enable them to do? Let's look at it. Exactly what you just said. Destroyed our reasoning abilities, like I talked about last week or the week before. I can't remember. It all sort of blurs together. But I was talking about how you don't, at for a split second, just about everybody on the planet wanted a Muslim's head on a fucking platter after 9/11. That was the response they got. So they destroyed our reasoning ability, and totally destroyed our reasoning abilities. People's reasoning abilities have not recovered. Most people's haven't. Now, a few have. But the idea, I mean, just, you know, looking at those buildings, the idea of those buildings coming down in that way due to, you know, jet fuel, when there's no way that could have been happening because the core, according to NIST and according to all the, you know, the official reports that came out, the cores of those buildings, for them to be, there's no way jet fuel could have ever melted the core of those buildings. Absolutely indestructible. It would take a whole hell of a lot more than jet fuel to make those cores not only collapse and fail, but they didn't just collapse and fail. They fucking disintegrated into thin air, to dust. And not only that, there were people who were reported alive on these buildings before the collapses. Now, if what they tell us is true, and that these the temperatures inside the buildings were reaching, you know, in excess of a few thousand degrees prior to the collapse, there's no way in hell there could have been people alive, which there were, on the upper levels of the floor where the planes went in. But there were. I mean, those people were calling, and they were there up until the time, alive up until the time those buildings came down. So, of course, they destroyed our reasoning ability. They destroyed our critical thinking. And, yes, they put us into a reality of cognitive dissonance and fear, and that's where we stay. You know, buildings don't collapse from fire that way. They never have before. They never have since, and they never will again, unless there's explosives or something else there. And I still don't think anybody's gotten it right, personally. I think all the theories and all the people out there who have speculated on, the best one I've ever heard has been the sort of the softball nuke thing on a pre-planted timer in the, because if you look at the buildings and the way they were built, they built the cores first. They were built from the core out. And if you look at the way those buildings fell, if you had, let's say, a softball-sized nuke at the very top of the elevator shaft, and the elevator shaft went through the perimeter of the building all the way through the interior cores of the Twin Towers. And, you know, looking at using Newton's law of falling bodies and looking at how at the rate in which those fell, because they were going boom, 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 boom. If you watch my my first film that I put out in 2007, 9/11 New World Rising, there's a great clip in there where the firemen are standing under the towers, and you can hear and see it crystal clear, man. It's going boom, 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 boom. It's blowing out floor by floor by floor. Now, it doesn't. A lot of people speculate that, well, they had to have explosives on each floor. That doesn't necessarily. If they had explosives on each floor, unless they were, if they would have had to have been on a time sequence where each floor, but you had things exploding out. You know, you had fucking 100-ton steel columns ejected into buildings three blocks away. Now, normally when they implode a building, they don't use the type of explosives that has an explosive force that's going to eject the steel out like that. There had to have been something there. That's why I've never thought of just thermite or just whatever else. One of those stories. But if you had a softball-sized nuke, a mini nuke, that was dropped in the at the very top of those cores, at the very top of the buildings, and maybe on a timer, Newton's Law of Falling Bodies, that thing would fall down the perimeter of the cores, and as it was exploding, the explosion would rip out as it's falling down till it gets to the very bottom. So absolutely, you know, they've destroyed our reasoning abilities. You know, they've got us believing that, pulling a building means pulling firefighters out when, you know, I knew that was bullshit when I first heard about it, because when I was a little kid, when you're a little kid, you don't really know things. You know, you just you hear stuff and your reasoning and what you think is just based on, you know, the little things that you know about as a kid. I remember hearing somebody talking about, I think it was on the news or something when I was a kid. I think they were, you know, blowing up one of the old casinos or something in Las Vegas, you know, the Sands or whatever it was. I don't remember. I was a kid, but, and I remember them saying that they were pulling a building. I remember asking, you know, my mom, my grandma or somebody, you know, what does that mean, pulling a building? They're pulling the building down? Does that mean that they, you know, get a bunch of tractor trailers and a bunch of trucks and a bunch of cables and hook it to the building and hit the gas and floor it and pull the building down? And they were laughing, going, no, it means they're, you know, going to blow it up because it's old and they're going to build a new one. I mean, I remember my parents, you know, or whoever, my grandparents or somebody telling me that when I was like 9 or 10 years old. So then they came back and tried to change the terminology after Larry Silverstein got caught, you know, cold-blooded on PBS saying, you know, we told them to made the decision to pull the building, and then we watched the building collapse, and then they tried to play damage control and come back and say, oh, no, he meant pull the firefighters out. Yeah, right. But a lot of people bought that. A lot of people said, oh, yeah, that's what that means. That means he pulled the firefighters out. And then you try, I've seen it, man. I've seen people arguing that back when I used to be in the 9/11 truth movement and stuff. But that's exactly what they've done. And you're going to see more of this, of course. Well, somebody in the chat room, or the new listener, I think his name was Charles. Thanks, Charles, for being a new listener and coming on the show. Was thanking me for being, for dispelling the fear mongers and stuff. We don't have a choice because these fear mongers are being put on us from the same people. I've proven that conclusively now and will continue to prove that with my work exposing the CMP and Secret Volume 1 and 2. Big shout out to Scott Monochrome in the chat room, who stepped up and helped us get the money for a new camera. So we're going to be able to get a new camera and get that going. We're going to be able to stay on schedule. He challenged me to get the film out by October 1st. And I told him I'm going to challenge myself even harder and get it out before that date. So thank you to Scott and for stepping up and helping make that happen. But that's what I found. That's what my research has shown me, is that the people who are using fear, be it the government or the mainstream media or the powers that be or anything else, you also have the same agents of those fear merchants in alternative media, in, you know, underground media. Because again, fear puts you in a state where you are not thinking rationally, where you are operating on that flight or fight response, and that's dangerous. That's what's going to put you in more of a position to get hurt or killed or not make the right decisions, because you're just going to, freaking out. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What the fuck? Oh, God. What the fuck? Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Pack your shit. We got to go. Holy fuck. Oh, God. I'm going to have to fucking shoot somebody. And that's what those guys do. That's what Jones does to people every single day. He's made a career out of it. And that's not going to fix things. That's not going to save our asses when the stuff goes down. We have to be thinking rationally. I am fucking concerned as hell with all this stuff. I wouldn't put my health and my life and my well-being and my good name and everything else on the line every single goddamn day to do this if I wasn't very concerned with the future of our species. This is beyond, oh, we gotta save America. We gotta save America from the New World Order, save America from these evil, evil Jews, bankers that want to kill us for our freedoms and our Constitution. We gotta stand. No, man, this is way beyond that. You're getting caught up in the side shit. You're getting caught up in the distractionary stuff, the distractionary ideologies they created to get you trapped. This is bigger than that. This is about saving the species. And, the bottom line of it is, too, the entire structure, the entire power structure, in my opinion, is based, its power is based on, and has always been based on, the manipulation of the knowledge and the withholding of the knowledge of extraterrestrials. And we'll get into some of that tonight. More fucking stories coming out about alien invasions. It's just insane. Every day this week we've had a story about that. They're ramping that up. And that was that's the thing you always see, don't you, in the truth movement. They always say, oh, all aliens don't exist. There's no such thing as extraterrestrials at all. Not even a chance of it. I'm not kidding you. This is the common held ideology of most people in the truth movement, patriot movement, people that follow Alex Jones and the rest of it. All UFOs are black op technology. They're nothing else. That's all, as if they know beyond any shadow of a doubt. It's all black op technology. It's all the government and all the rest of this. And then they misquote people like Von Braun, and they, they constantly say, oh, they're going to fake an alien invasion. And that's not what it points in the direction of. That's another lie. That's another red herring. It does not point in the direction that they're going to fake an alien invasion. It, according to Von Braun and others who's been misquoted over and over again, that what they are going to do, they have known about the existence of extraterrestrials for thousands of years. The whole religious hierarchy and the whole system is based on a withholding of that knowledge. But they are going to use it and, again, lie to us and reveal their knowledge of the existence of extraterrestrials by telling us these aliens are hostile so that we will all decide to come together under a world government, unite, create these space-based weapons, and then have a constant enemy to arm ourselves against. Now, that leads me to this next email here from Gord. Gord says, hi, Josh. Maybe you already talked about it earlier, or you touched on a topic a bit in the last show, but I would like to know what you think is the overall goal of the priest class and those forces that control them beyond globalization, population reduction, the amalgamation religion, business and military into one system or world order, for complete domination of the planet. Let's say they accomplish it. They get the world to band together to thwart the fake alienation threat. Then what is their ultimate goal that they, the masters of the priest class, are trying to accomplish? Is it perhaps that the benevolent aliens will eventually give up on the planet, leave the planet in the hands of the malevolent, what I refer to as the hybrids, or those humans who serve or merge themselves with malevolent beings, alienation? It's a bit of a long question, but I'm trying to figure out the ultimate end game or this grand conspiracy. All the best. Thank you, Gord. Great question. How much time do you got? Oh, man. Because I could go on that one all night. I'll try my best to keep it short, but you know, It's a great question. I'm glad you asked it because, and I do have an answer for you, but I just have to say, first off, you know, it's, I don't think people are, I think that that's, I'm glad you are to the point, personally, as a person, Gord, that you are ready to even consider that answer. But it boils down to this. Absolute unending servitude of, see, that's what these elite bloodline people who are in charge, who are promulgating this grand conspiracy, their whole plan is to become gods in the same way that these extraterrestrials or whoever they are prop themselves up as gods on Earth. They basically want to set up a structure of unending, where it's basically unending servitude to the global power structure, who will be worshipped as gods, probably through the merging of machines. What it's looking like is that they're going to merge to the transhumanist thing. They're going to merge with machines, become living gods, become immortals, and then have supplant humankind with basically a, well, what they're doing to us now. A genetically inferior race that's been dumbed down, that's been de-evolved, for lack of a better term, de-evolved down into a lesser, and we are being de-evolved every day. I mean, the dumbing down and the fluoride in the water and the MSG and everything, it is a de-evolution. That's what they want. But essentially, they want to do that and then spread that to other places. I mean, you think this is these guys are looking at this as just a global grand conspiracy? No, they want this to be a galaxy-wide power structure or a universe-wide power structure. I mean, if you don't believe me, look at Hitler. Hitler talked openly about that, about wanting to spread the Aryan race not only all over Earth, but to other star systems, to other galaxies. And who do you think he was getting his ideologies from? The same people. I found a great quote tonight, working on the film, and this will be in the new film, Secret Volume 2. Hitler says, quote, "I learned much from the Order of the Jesuits," said Hitler. "Until now, there has never been anything more grandiose on the earth than the hierarchical organizations of the Catholic Church. I transferred much of this organization into my own party. I am going to let you in on a little secret. I am founding an order in my burgs of that order. And we will raise up a youth which will make the world tremble." Hitler then stopped saying that he couldn't say anymore. Hermann Rauschning, that came from Hermann Rauschning, the former National Socialist chief of the government of Danzig, from the Cooperation of Paris, 1939. Pages 266, 267, and 273. So yeah, the whole thing. Yeah, you're right. All of that is leading up to this, but they want, I believe, that through technology and through merging with machines, they want to go in much of the same way they've had crusades and propaganda campaigns on Earth and genocide. You know, our way is the right way. And anybody else who argues with this is the enemy and is set for destruction and annihilation. They want to do that all over. They want to do that in other galaxies, in other planets. They believe that their seed, their bloodline, their race is so superior and their ideologies are so superior and so right for whatever reasons, that any other ideologies or races of people on any other planets, anywhere in the fucking galaxy or solar systems beyond infinity, pale in comparison to theirs and deserve to be destroyed and taken over and have in a new game set up and tell them. And see, it's tough to even talk about that. They talk about that. That's not just me pulling that over. They openly talk about that in their works, about wanting to spread it beyond the, you know, to explore the stars forever, merging with machines and becoming living gods. And I believe that's exactly what they've been searching for in the ancient artifacts from ancient Iraq and all over the world, everywhere else. And I've mentioned this several times, 50, 60 years ago, if people were reading stuff out of Sumerian texts and things like that, but long before people knew about, DNA and cracking the gene code and all this stuff, or, flying machines or anything else, a lot of stuff that was in these texts, people didn't really have a context for. But as we have been climbing up the technological ladder, according to people like Hermann Oberth, the German rocket scientist, the father of all rocket science. Look him up, Hermann Oberth. Coincidentally, Dr. Wernher von Braun's mentor. Hermann Oberth, the father of all rocket science, said, "Our technological advances have not come as the result of human ingenuity. We have been helped, and we have been helped by beings from other worlds." Now, this wasn't some crackpot conspiracy guy. This was a serious fucking scientist. A genius. A man who took his work very seriously and whose work was also taken very seriously, on the record saying that we have been helped. His protege, Wernher von Braun, brought over here to the United States after World War II to head up NASA. He was dying of lung cancer in the 1970s. And he started to have a conscience about everything. And so he just started spilling the beans. I saw this posted on Truth or Science, because all this more stories are coming out about this alien thing. Everybody in the truth community is saying that they're going to stage an alien invasion. Aliens aren't real. They're creating all that's going to be black op technology. And they're still misquoting von Braun and saying that he said that they're going to fake an alien invasion. And that's absolutely 100% not what he said. He said that they are going to tell us that non-hostile aliens who are here to help us are actually hostile, so that the world will band together, weaponize space to fight this threat. And then once they do that, anything that is ever seen again on the earth, anytime, let's say that, okay, we have a world order, that's it, everybody's living it. Well, let's say that somebody decides, well, you know what? Fuck this world order. I don't want to be a part of this world order. I want to go over here and set up my own little country and have my own rules, my own sovereign nation, and all that. Not going to work. Not going to happen. These space-based weapons will give them a full, and they already have these. They've had them for years. They keep getting better and better. I mean, they had the Hughes Satellite Corporation. You know who they have that. If you live out in the sticks, you live out in the country, they have that Hughes satellite internet, where it's basically like DirecTV or something like that, and you get it through the dish, and it's high-speed broadband. Well, the Hughes Satellite Corporation, as far back as I think 1971, 1972, somewhere in there, had hunter-killer satellites that made the weapons used in the movie Independence Day look antiquated, as far back as 1971. So what do you think they had? Hell, they had a satellite in 1967 where they could see the head of a dime in a parking lot from space. Worldview 1, which is one of the many NSA keyhole satellites that's up there right now, can see through 6 feet of concrete and steel. 3D color image, baby. They can see every single thing that goes on this planet anywhere in real time, anytime they want to now. And with that gives them all the targeting they need. So great question there, Gord. And, you as above, so below, so in the microcosm, as in the microcosm, so in the macrocosm. Or anything that happens in a large scale in the universe happens in a small scale down on in other places, or on Earth, or whatever. That's what they want to do. They want to take this microcosmic control system that to this point has been relegated here only to Earth. And they want to make it macrocosmic. They want to take it out as far and extend it as far as they can, and they will not stop until they do that. So great question there. Let's see what else we have. In the mailbag. Somebody wanted to know if I have thoughts on someone named Cliff High. I've never heard of Cliff High, so I don't have an opinion. Sorry. I don't, to be honest with you, man, I really don't pay attention to a lot of, or really any for that matter anymore. I really don't pay attention to any of the researchers or any work. The only time I really ever do is when people point it out to me, you know, but because, man, just, you know, almost everybody that I've come across has proven themselves to be a fraud to me, you know? So that's the way I look at it. MJ says that, I covered that back when that happened. Well, I covered that last year. They found that ship underneath the World Trade Center and they could never fully date it because there were no records of the patent. 9/11 is way farther out there than most really know. On aliens, how would our global intelligence agencies operate if they were able to reach other star systems that have humanoid inhabitants? Would we dare make a grand entrance of any kind? Would we be instinctively predatory? Just a thought. I think they'd be selective about it. I think it would be kind of much in the same way that we read here out of, you know, the Lost Book of Enki, in the way that they, you know, came to Earth and looking for gold. They found this, you know, primitive worker race, and they said they saw this primitive race on Earth as an easy mark. Not very evolved, you know. Oh man, that's perfect. We could manipulate that and turn that into whatever we want it to be. And eventually, you know, thousands of years down the line, unless they had the information, these people would go about their daily lives never knowing how they were created. And that brings us about up to date, doesn't it? But I think it would be exactly that. I think that they would, you know, they'd be searching for something that would be, you know, very easy for them to go find a primitive planet with primitive people on it, come down with massive technology, and declare themselves gods and set up shop. Probably exactly to a T what happened on this planet. And again, all my research has shown me that these people want to mimic the gods, the ultimate, and it seems like there's a timeline to it. It seems like if they don't get it done within a certain amount of time, it doesn't happen. I could be wrong about that, but that's just what it seems like to me from my research. But it's like, in order to become gods and sit at the throne with the people they consider to be the gods, they have to basically evolve to the point that themselves, and what that requires is all this stuff we're seeing with the New World Order and the rest of it. That's all the mail we have for tonight, but we can get more in tonight if you want to send some in. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. I want to get into this news. Every day this week, we've had more of these stories coming out about extraterrestrials. Now this report has come out today. This is just unbelievable. Aliens may destroy humanity to protect other civilizations, say scientists. Rising greenhouse emissions may tip off aliens that we are a rapidly expanding threat, warns a report from NASA. Now, again, you know, I mean, all these movies coming out, all this stuff. I mean, Go to imdb.com, the Internet Movie Database, type in Steven Spielberg, and go and look under his production credits, filmic. I mean, it's unfucking believable. This guy is like number one gatekeeper. Anytime anybody wants to make a movie about extraterrestrials, it's like they roll out Spielberg and say, oh, really, you want to make a movie about extraterrestrials? Okay, well, you're going to need a big budget for that. You're going to need a big-name producer to get it out there and get people to take you seriously. So Here's what we can do for you. You want to make this movie? Well, we can give you Spielberg. And we can give you that good Spielberg Jew gold money, too. But what we're going to need is we're going to need script approval. And in exchange for script approval, we'll give you access to, you know, the hot military weaponry we have, a la Transformers. That's exactly what they did there. I mean, three movies this summer, folks, three movies that depict hostile aliens wanting to take our resources, all with Spielberg involved in it. I mean, that to you seem like a coincidence? Because I don't believe in coincidences anymore at all. Transformers, Cowboys and Aliens. And what was the other one? I swear there was another one. It's just insane. Super 8. It may not rank as the most compelling reason to curb greenhouse gases, but reducing our emissions might just save humanity from a preemptive alien attack, scientists claim. Unbelievable. Watching from afar, extraterrestrial beings might view changes in Earth's atmosphere as a symptomatic of a civilization growing out of control and take drastic action to keep us from becoming a more serious threat, the researchers explain. This highly speculative scenario is one of several described by scientists at NASA and Pennsylvania State University that, while considered unlikely, they say could play out where humans and alien life to make contact at some point in the future. I mean, they are really, really playing this. It's been said for the longest time that, well, there was UFOs over Chernobyl, there was UFOs over Fukushima. That indeed, that has been the case, is that these extraterrestrials have been tinkering and messing with our technology, messing with our nuclear power, because, well, this from what I've, this is what I've come through in my research. Supposedly, there is deep inside the Earth, underground, supposedly underwater, under the oceans, deep under the water. This is why you've seen, or throughout history, people have seen underwater UFOs. I mean, going back to Christopher Columbus and on and on and on, coming out of the water, coming out of the oceans, the Bermuda Triangle. Supposedly within our Earth, and this also explains why apparently you've had, you know, various extraterrestrial civilizations, different ones that have visited here and been marooned here through the years, because supposedly there is a massive portal system within the Earth that's very, very, very rare in all galaxies, that allows you to be able to travel and jump great distances like an intergalactic subway station. And they reference that in the movie They Live, and they say exactly that. And I'd seen that movie a million times, and about a year ago I was watching and went, God damn it, there it is. They put it in that movie. There was so much other, you know, very plausible stuff in that film with, you know, Roddy Piper and stuff. It's a great movie. But supposedly that's why extraterrestrial races have been visiting here so much for so many years. They can travel great distances through these portals. That's why Earth has been protected. And supposedly these extraterrestrials have been trying to do things that would, you know, essentially bring down the power structure, like giving us free energy, giving us, you know, ways to provide ourselves with renewable resources and renewable food and things that we can sustain ourselves on. But all of those things would be the end of the New World Order, wouldn't they, ladies and gentlemen? Absolutely, they would. So with the appearance of UFOs over Fukushima, over Chernobyl, and by the way, they referenced Chernobyl. I thought that was interesting. They referenced Chernobyl in the new Transformers movie. It has to do with the aliens, so I don't want to give it away in case you should see the movie, but there was just so much stuff in that movie. My God. So much stuff. And it actually wasn't a bad movie, to be honest with you. It was very entertaining. I highly suggest you see it. I thought it was probably the best one out of it. It was great, but it wasn't horrible either. The special effects were awesome. I mean, the machines and stuff were really cool. And plus, Leonard Nimoy was in it, so you can't beat that, you know. He was one of the Transformer voices. But this, to me, you know, with the knowledge that these extraterrestrials have been coming here for a great amount of years, they've been using these portal systems with the Earth, they've been trying to protect the Earth, And now humanity is seen as a threat to these portal systems that are a great value to many different extraterrestrial races. It does stand to reason they would step up and try to do that. And it also stands to reason that the governments of the world would see this as the perfect opportunity to tell us that these extraterrestrials are hostile. They've known about these extraterrestrials for years. They're going to act like they just now found out about it. Bullshit. They have been, just like they've been keeping us through the priest class and the religious structures, enslaved for years with the restriction of the knowledge of extraterrestrials, they're doing that in the modern day as well. Oh, you know, fossil fuels, that's all we have. Oh, bullshit. There is free, clean, infinite energy systems on the shelves. There has been for over 100 years. The only reason that our status quo stays the same is because the people in charge want it to stay the same so they can stay in control. But this is, I really do, I really see this as the perfect scenario for them to, you know, because this, what they love to do is they love to do things where they're not necessarily lying to you. You know what I mean? It's like supposedly the reason we didn't find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq was because the weapons of mass destruction were weapons of mass destruction that we're not supposed to know exist. I mean, it was reported in RIA Novosti that a Russian newspaper prior to 9/11 that Saddam Hussein had recovered a crashed alien craft and had back engineered all this weaponry out of it. He actually had created these, like, they called them like some kind of like crab people type thing. Crab people. I mean, I'm not joking. Be serious. Like these like weird like monster things with pinchers and stuff. And he was getting ready he was also among using this technology and basically going to, you know, bring down the global power structure with it. He was much like Hitler. He was set up by us and he was coddled by us and put into power by us, but much in the same way Hitler did once he started through the result of his actions that the powers that be were paying him and putting him in charge to do, started gaining power that could eventually become a threat to the power structure, so they had to bring him down. And supposedly he had back-engineered this UFO, he had all this back-engineered alien technology, and that was why, you know, even though we were told, you know, Al-Qaeda and bin Laden were behind the Twin Towers, boom, all of a sudden, okay, now we've got to go into Iraq and get weapons of mass destruction. But because those weapons of mass destruction are things that are alien technology and they're not going to tell us about, technically they didn't actually lie. Even though it appears to the public they lied because they didn't find the weapons of mass destruction, well, the weapons of mass destruction they found weren't anything that's for public consumption, you see. I think that's what they're going to do here. You know, tell us that they're hostile and tell us they're a threat, when actually they're not really a threat or hostile to us. They're hostile and a threat to their system, to their power structure, to their new world order, you see. I really think that that's what this is pointing at. I think that's how they're going to roll this out. They're going to tell us that these aliens are a threat to our way of life, and they're probably even fucking tell us they hate us for our freedoms. I mean, it wouldn't fucking surprise me. Aliens hate us. They hate us for our freedoms.
Suck Satan's cock.
This highly speculative scenario is one of several described by scientists at NASA and Penn State University. And while considered unlikely, they say it could play out where humans and alien life to make contact at some point in the future. Sean DeMago-Goldman of NASA's Planetary Science Division and his colleagues compiled a list of plausible outcomes that could unfold in the aftermath of a close encounter to help humanity prepare for actual contact. In their report, would contact with extraterrestrials benefit or harm humanity? A scenario analysis. Don't you love how NASA supposedly broke, but they're pumping all this money into this? They got money. That's why they've done this. That's why they shut down the space program. That's why they shut down the shuttles. That's why they've shut it down. They're moving to the next phases of operation. And the next phase of operation is space-based weapons and the PR campaign to convince us that extraterrestrials are not only real, but are a threat to our way of life. There's no, I mean, my God, how many fucking TV shows and movies have come out about hostile aliens this year alone? 20, 30, 40, 50. How many last year? How many the year before that? How many the year before that? Go and look. They've been building this up for a long time for a real good reason, folks. Beneficial encounters rage from the mere detection of extraterrestrial intelligences, for example, through the interception of alien broadcasts, to contact with cooperative organisms that help us advance our knowledge and solve global problems such as hunger, poverty, and disease. Another beneficial outcome the authors entertain sees humanity triumph over a more powerful alien aggressor, or even being saved by a second group of ETs. Now, I've seen that. Oh, my God, that's strange. I've seen that mentioned in reports from alleged whistleblowers who have described, because they said that what they're going to do is, allegedly, this is the story, and I'm paraphrasing here. I don't have all the info in front of me. I'm just going from memory, but God, you guys would probably know better than I. My memory's great, but sometimes it's shit. Was it Eisenhower? Was it, what president was it that supposedly made the deal with the ETs? You guys know better than me. I don't remember if it was Eisenhower or who it was, but one of the presidents supposedly made a deal with the ETs in exchange for technology. They gave the ETs, the Greys, permission to conduct tests and research on certain members of the population. And that eventually, once the Americans got, or not just Americans, but governments as a whole, Americans specifically, though, got the technology they needed, they sort of broke the deal with the ETs, and the ETs started going off the list. And supposedly, we've been working with these Greys and underground bases in places such as, you know, New Mexico and Area 51 and White Sands and Denver International Airport underground there at the facility they have, and on and on and on. So supposedly what these whistleblowers have talked about is that what they're going to do first is they're going to introduce the Greys to us. And the Greys are going to give us some kind of great, technology or great invention that will help mankind. Like, for example, the cure for cancer. One shot, one cure. No matter what it is, boom, you're cured for life. That's an example. And that in exchange for this miracle cure, they are going to ask us to help them fight another race of extraterrestrials who they are going to tell us are hostile, who actually may not be hostile, but are going to tell us are, who are come from Alpha Draconis or something like that. Now, this has all come from whistleblower stuff. I don't know how much of it's true, but I've read this through the years. And then that's how essentially they're going to roll out. They're going to first give us the Greys. The Greys are going to give us this technology. And the Greys are going to ask us to band together as a planet to help them. But it's all going to be a lie, because essentially what we're going to be doing is we're going to be destroying an enemy for them, which is then going to enable them by proxy to set up shop and take over Earth and enslave us all. So that's interesting that they would put that, they'd kind of hint at that as a possible scenario here. And I love being a researcher. I fucking love it, man. Especially with a mind like mine, the way I recall information, I keep it stored, because it always comes in handy when you read stuff like this, because, I mean, I read about that 10 years ago. And here it is. I thought I'd never see the day. Believe me, folks, I'm not one of these people. But a lot of people love this stuff. A lot of people foam at the mouth. And, you know, all I've heard for the past 10 years from people in the research community, it makes me sick to my fucking stomach every time I hear somebody, what's the next 9/11 going to be, man? What's the next 9/11 going to be? What's the next false flag? What's it going to be? What's the next? And they're just salivating and fucking their dicks getting hard over it. They can't wait to make their little YouTube film to put out what the next. I mean, it just makes me sick. A lot of these people want this stuff to happen. I don't want this stuff to happen. I don't like to be right about this stuff, but unfortunately, I'm right more than I'm wrong about this stuff, and that's scary. Beneficial encounters range from the mere detection of extraterrestrial intelligence, for example, through the interception of alien broadcasts, to contact with cooperative organisms that help us advance our knowledge and solve global problems such as hunger, poverty, and disease. Okay, in exchange for what? Another beneficial outcome the authors entertain sees humanity triumph over a more powerful alien aggressor, or even being saved by a second group of ETs. Boom. Whistleblowers who have been on the inside have been talking about that for decades. And here NASA is rolling this out in their official statements. This is unbelievable. In these scenarios, humanity benefits not only from the major moral victory of having defeated a daunting rival, but also from the opportunity to reverse engineer ET technology. This has already happened. See, they made the deal. They cut the deal with these fuckers. The ETs lived up to their end of the bargain. And then what did they do? They took all the great technology and all that stuff and used it for weapons of war and total destruction to give them more power so they can further become living gods, and have kept all the diseases and all that stuff, all the cancer cures on the shelf given it to. I mean, look, you ever seen a Rockefeller or a Rothschild die of cancer? No, it doesn't fucking happen. Wonder why. All this stuff's already happened. Unbelievable that it dovetails with a lot of the whistleblower stuff, though. Other kinds of close encounters may be less rewarding and leave much of human society feeling indifferent towards alien life. The extraterrestrials may be too different from us to communicate with usefully. Yeah, well, that's another one that I've heard about. Supposedly, they found this sphere. This sphere that crashed, and they opened up this sphere, and the life form inside of it was just this, like, this gelatinous mass. It was like some kind of organic gelatinous mass that they couldn't figure out what the fuck it was. The extraterrestrials may be too different for us to communicate with usefully. They might invite humanity to join the galactic club, only for the entry requirements to be too bureaucratic and tedious for humans to bother with. They could even become a nuisance, like the stranded prawn-like creatures that are kept in a refugee camp in the 2009 South African movie District 9. The report explains the most unappealing outcomes would arise if extraterrestrials caused harm to humanity, even if by accident. While aliens may arrive to eat, enslave, or attack us, the report adds that people might also suffer from being physically crushed or by contracting diseases carried by the visitors. Well, that's perfect for them, isn't it? Oh, it's the alien. That's another one they can lie about. Oh, the alien plague. You know, come down here and get your shot from the alien plague. You know, line up to the FEMA camps and get your shot so you don't catch the alien plague. And then, boom, when everybody lines up because they believe the alien plague's coming, what they actually give you is the fucking plague. Brought to you by Merck. Brought to you by Pfizer. Gee. I mean, don't think for a second they wouldn't pull something like that. You know they would. In especially unfortunate incidents, humanity could be wiped out when a more advanced civilization accidentally unleashes. By the way, did I mention this come from the London Guardian, what I'm reading for you right now? This is not the Tinfoil Times. This is not the Conspiracy Daily. This is the fucking London Guardian. God help us all, man. Woo. I mean, what an exciting time to be alive, though, right? Oh, man. I do want to get some ass before the apocalypse comes. Ladies, I'm now taking applications out there. my God. This is crazy. Humanity could be wiped out when a more advanced civilization accidentally unleashes an unfriendly artificial intelligence. Dun, 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 there you go. Or performs a catastrophic physics experiment that renders a portion of the galaxy uninhabitable. To bolster humanity's chances of survival, the researchers call for caution in sending signals to space. And in particular, warn against broadcasting information about our biological makeup, which could be used to manufacture weapons that target. They've already done that. Christ almighty, Voyager 1. They sent a goddamn spacecraft out into space in the 1970s that had a disc made out of gold on it. You dumb fucks. Oh, yeah, come down here to Earth. Guess what? This is what we look like. And guess what? We got gold and lots of it. I mean, you know, everything we've seen points in the direction of these goddamn aliens want gold, right? Maybe it wasn't a good thing that we sent out a fucking picture on a disc with humans on it that was made out of goddamn gold. Oh, come and get it. By the way, this is what we look like. And by the way, our best representative, whose voice did they put on that gold disc? Who was the best representative they could find? An ex-Nazi. A former UN ambassador. Mentor of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Kurt Waldheim. They put a Nazi's voice on a gold disc with depictions of what humans look like with a goddamn diagram of our solar system with a big fat fucking arrow that says we are here and sent it out into space. Oh, that was smart. The same people that did that are telling us in their new report, well, maybe we shouldn't broadcast signals out to space. Maybe we shouldn't send anything out there about our biological makeup because they may manufacture weapons to target us. A little late for that. That's ridiculous. NASA was the one who sent that out there. Now NASA's coming back fucking 30 years later and telling us, you know, maybe it's a good idea. Wouldn't be a good idea to broadcast what we look like and everything out there because they might make weapons to kill us all. Oh, yeah, that's just convenient, isn't it? You are going to see aliens before it's over with. You're going to see fucking zombie apocalypse before it's over with. You're going to see Nibiru probably before it's over with. You're going to see fucking the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man before it's over with. If you could dream it, you're probably going to see it at this point. My God. I can't fucking believe that. I mean, we've had SETI, the search for extraterrestrial life. I saw a story. I didn't cover it. I saw a story last night where Jodie Foster gave a bunch of money. SETI would run out of money again. They've given more money to SETI. They've started back that back up. They're beaming more signals out there. Yet they put out this report that says, maybe it's a good idea we don't broadcast out things about what we look like. My God. The researchers call for caution. A little late. I'm about to blow a fucking fuse over this. They sent out a fucking space probe with a big fat gold disc on it, made of solid gold. It had a Nazi's voice on it. It had a man and a female and what we look like with a big fucking arrow pointing down saying, you are here. We are here. Come get it. We've been inviting this shit for decades. And the aliens are going to come down and we're going to go, I don't know why they're attacking us. I don't know why they're killing us. Oh, my God. You know, I mean, I reach it like this, and I just go, you know what? Fuck it. We deserve to be fucking destroyed. Let the aliens come down. By the way, aliens, if you're out there, I have no problem with you, you know? Whatever, man. Fuck these people in charge. You want to bring down the New World Order? I'm your pal. In fact, if the aliens come to destroy the New World Order, I'm joining the fucking aliens. Yeah, how you like that, NSA? Monitor that. Put that in your fucking Google Analytics and smoke it, bitch. Oh, I gotta cool down, man. That got me fucking worked up. That's unbelievable, though. To bolster humanity's chances of survival, the researchers call for caution in sending signals into space, and in particular, warn against broadcasting information about our biological makeup, which could be used to manufacture weapons that target humans. Instead, any contact with ET should be limited to mathematical discourse until we have a better idea what type of ET we're dealing with. The authors warn that extraterrestrials may be wary of civilizations that expand very rapidly, and these may be prone to destroy other life as they grow, just as humans have pushed species to extinction on Earth. In the most extreme scenario, aliens might choose to destroy humanity to protect other civilizations. Oh, man, just like Megadeth said, a countdown to extinction. Jeez, the countdown's on, isn't it? A preemptive strike would be particularly likely in the early phases of our expansion because a civilization may become increasingly difficult to destroy as it continues to expand. Humanity may just now be entering the period in which its rapid civilizational expansion could be detected by ET because our expansion is changing the composition of the Earth's atmosphere via greenhouse gas emissions. Yeah. Through spraying chemtrails. Green aliens. Oh, that's cute. Oh. What a bunch of fucking losers. Green. Oh, we're calling them green aliens. Not just because they're little green men, but because they're environmentalist green meaties. Aren't we cute? Bunch of fucking dolts. Green aliens might object to the environmental change and damage that humans have caused on Earth and wipe us out to save the planet. These scenarios give us reason to limit our growth and reduce our impact on global ecosystems. It will be particularly important for us to limit our emissions of greenhouse gases since atmospheric composition can be observed from other planets. Even if we never make contact with extraterrestrials, the report argues that considering the potential scenarios may help to plot the future path of human civilization, avoid collapse, and achieve long-term survival. Let me tell you something right here, right now. NASA does not expend any amount of money for something just for shits and giggles. Okay? The UN doesn't create panels on how to deal with near-Earth objects and stuff like that for just shits and giggles. The Vatican doesn't put together seminars and meetings on, you know, extraterrestrial life for shits and giggles. They are figuring out a way to use this to assume total control and to keep us enslaved. Period. End of story. And if it takes every last fiber in my body, God damn it, I'm going to fucking expose this shit. And these motherfuckers like Alex Jones and others are completely complicit in this cover-up. That's why the connections of them to the Knights of Malta and the Jesuits and all that stuff, that's why that matters. Because they are complicit in this cover-up, and they will be held in the same regard as the rest of these criminals. And all of you out there, you know who you are. People I've done radio shows with on other networks like Oracle and stuff, lots of hosts over there that say, oh, UFOs don't exist, aliens don't exist, it's all black-up technology. You guys, and a lot of them are Catholic, by the way, you guys are going to be complicit as well. So you better pick a side right now. Oh, I'm hopping mad about this shit. I need to take a break. I need to cool down. I'm getting hot. I don't even know if I'm going to cover any more news tonight. We'll see. But we're going to get into Lost Book of Enki as well. We may just skip the rest of the news. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to take a break. Come back, and when we come back from this break, we will get into some more stuff for you now. Whew. Yeah. All right, folks. This is the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Stay with us. Yeah. back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us for another edition of the broadcast here for you tonight. My website where this broadcast originates from, www.theglobalreality.com. That's www.theglobalreality.com. This is a reality that affects each and every one of us, not just, you know, the United States of America. That's been sort of the predominant worldview in all this for the longest time. Says, no, this is affecting everybody, everywhere. And man, I'm just amazed that the listenership we have is all over the planet. We've been listened to in almost every corner of the globe. It's fucking incredible. If that ever that ever equates, the financial support ever equates that, we'll be doing all right. We have, you know, few people out there that keep us alive every month, and those few people, you know who you are. I love you so much, and thank you so much for believing in me and helping me continue in this work and getting it going. If you want to help those people out and help them shoulder some of the financial burden of keeping this network running and keeping the films coming and all this stuff, I have a lot of stuff I want to make films about, guys. I mean, lots of stuff. The only thing holding me back in that is just the financial stuff. And I know times are tough for everybody, but you know, I mean, I could be selling advertising. I'd make you guys sit through commercials instead of Ozzy and everything else. I'd much rather listen to Ozzy or Megadeth or whatever, Children of Bodom or whatever it is, than listen to, please buy our water filters. You know you want to have one. The New World Order is knocking on your door. You know you need this right now, today. If you don't, you're going to a FEMA camp. You know, I mean, I'd much rather listen to some music than that. I know you would too. And in order for that to continue, we have to have support. So please go to my website, theglobalreality.com. Chip and banner is there for the bills of the month. Donate button is there. You know, you just whatever. You've never supported us before. If you support us in the past, not supported us for a while, if you want to support us, and I mean, because every bit of cash we get in helps us get bigger and better. And the fact we're going to be able to get a new camera now is going to help extensively. Because anytime I get a new piece of gear, every time I, you know, get a big donation or something, I'm able to get a piece of gear or a new piece of equipment. It inspires me more. You know what I mean? So when we go through periods of time and we're not able to get new stuff to do new things with, you know, it's like anything. You just kind of get, you know, because you get, I mean, I've been around on the same computer for like 3 or 4 years over here. I need to get a new computer too. But, you know, that's the whole thing is, it's always been that way for me, I guess, you know, like, well, as a musician and stuff, you know, like if, you know, I can be kind of uninspired for a while and I get a new guitar, boom, you know, creativity just goes through the roof. Well, it's that way too. And when we don't get in donations or we don't get in big amount of donations, we only get enough to squeak by every month on bills, then, you know, that doesn't foster the creativity. And so that's another reason why I wanted to thank Scott for, you know, helping us out and stuff, because that does, you know, and that's why I want to encourage you to donate and help us out and support us if you can. And thanks to everybody out there who has. So TheGlobalReality.com is where you can do that. And please donate and support us if you can. We'll definitely use that to go forward and try to get out more information, man. There are not a lot of people out here like me saying the things that I'm saying, talking about the things that I'm saying. And, you know, it's a shame. And a lot of these, you know, not everybody out there who's not saying the things I'm saying or talking about the things I am, not all those people are working for the elite or the New World Order or the Jesuits or the Jews, the Zionists or whoever. You know, a lot of them are just, it's like any ideology. They have led themselves to believe the ideologies that they're buying into are real and are legit, and they're very steadfast in it. And coming as from somebody who was, you know, brainwashed by that whole thing, it's like any cult. Believe me, I was brainwashed by the cult of Alex Jones and everything as much as anybody was. And just through a series of events, you know, boom, information fell into my lap that completely changed my whole outlook on this. And that's been the mission I've been on. My mission is to find the real truth of this stuff. That's always been my mission for myself. I never wanted to be a radio talk show host or be a prominent person. I always wanted to be in the background. I was never the guy that wanted to be, just like when I first started playing guitar and I was in bands, I didn't want to be a lead singer. I wanted to be a bass player, man. I wanted to, you know, sit in the background and hold down the rhythm and, and, you know, kind of go unnoticed and just kind of sit in the dark and, let, you know, let somebody else take the spotlight. Let somebody else be the lead guitarist or let somebody else be the singer. And then inadvertently, just because there was nobody else to do it, I got pushed into the position of being, you know, the front man in my first band that I had for 3 or 4 years, you know. I never wanted that position, but it was just kind of what it just kind of got pushed into that. Same way with doing my radio show. The reason I ever started doing my radio show is my brother just threw it out there one day. I was like, man, you should do your own radio show. And I said, yeah, you're right. I should do my own radio show. Fuck yeah, I should. I never thought about it, you know? So I never, you know, wanted to be in this. I started researching this stuff when I was 16, even really actually before that. I was researching UFOs and, you know, paranormal shit when I was literally in the third grade. No joke. But I never wanted to be a radio show host. And I never certainly thought I would be in the position I am now of being one of the, you know, more prominent people that's brought out the stuff on the CMP and, didn't ever think that it would turn into this and what it has, you know, and these, you know, I got some TV show wants me to be on some, you know, true homicide TV. I mean, I never wanted that. So I never wanted that, but you know, sometimes things in life choose you. You don't choose them and you just have to go with it. But first and foremost, this has always been about my quest for truth. So that's what I've always tried to do, is to get up here and relate to you my perspective in this ongoing quest for truth, and hopefully that will help you in your own quest. I'm not here to get you to believe everything that comes out of my mouth. I'm not here to get you to follow me like I'm some leader or something. I'm not a leader. I'm not your leader. Don't look at me like I'm a leader. Either. I mean, I think that my perspective was, we just sometimes need somebody else, one person that is willing to step up and have the cojones to say what they feel and say what they mean. We just sometimes need that one person to prove to ourselves that, God damn it, I was right about all this stuff all the time. People have been telling me I was crazy my whole life, or people have been telling me I was wrong, or this. And look, here's Josh Reeves, and he's talking about all the shit that I've known in my gut was real. And that's our job, you know. That's what we're here to do. We're here to inspire each other and inspire each other to be a greater version of ourselves than we are right now. But why is it that people seem to digress and de-evolve? That's a part of the master plan, too. They don't want you to get better with age. They want you to get worse with age. They want you to be, you know. And people fall into that, and just, I see it all the time. I see it every day. Everybody's seen it our whole lives. Somebody starts out as an okay person, and then they just progress and just go south, and they're lost. You ever stop to think about for a minute that maybe that's exactly what they want us to do? Not to constantly be striving to be a better version of ourselves, and not a better version of ourselves of, oh, you know, climbing the corporate ladder and having material goods and having a position and all this, but actually growing and evolving and being able to look back in the precipice of time at ourselves over the course of 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. My God, I have grown more in almost 4 years of being on air and doing this show than I had in all the previous years of my life before that, folks. It's a fact. The person I was when I started doing this show is a shadow of the person I am now. But for the better, thank goodness. I mean, but that's, to me, that's the point. That's how you defeat them. Is by becoming stronger, better, more knowledgeable, standing up for who you are, standing up for who you believe in, and what you believe in. And I believe in myself first and foremost, and that's probably one of the biggest threats to everybody. People hate it when you believe in yourself. So does somebody think you don't need them for your own personal, you know, to be who you are? Oh, boy, they can't stand that now, can they? Breaking news coming off the wires here. Magnitude 6.8 earthquake jolts Japan off of Fukushima, but no damage. My God. Well, how do we know there's no damage? How do we know it's not causing it? I mean, fuck, that, you know. United States, I think, this week just admitted, yo, yeah, we knew within days after Fukushima that it went melt down. Yeah, we knew that, but we didn't tell you. This is literally just come off the wire. A strong earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 6.8 jolted northeastern Japan off Fukushima Prefecture on Friday. The Japan Meteorological Agency said, although no damage was reported and a tsunami advisory for the area was lifted, no waves were sighted. I love this. No abnormalities have been found in radiation monitoring. Right. Right. No abnormalities because what is an abnormality? Something that's not normal, right? Well, the new norm for Fukushima is total fucking meltdown. So there's no abnormalities because total fucking meltdowns already happened. Idiots. Ah, damn. Let me run through this stack real quick. Oh, this is a good one. You guys will love this. Research in Britain revealed Friday that they're exploring whether the nightclubbers drug ecstasy. Oh, man, I'm fucking rolling my balls off. Pass me the Vicks, man. You gotta pass far on you, dude. Could be effective in treating blood cancers. Scientists at the University of Birmingham in central England said modified forms of the drug boosted its ability to destroy cancerous cells by 100 times. I've done ecstasy a lot in the past, 10, 15 years ago. It was very therapeutic for me coming, learning a lot of things about myself and, getting through a lot of the stuff that it kind of plagued me from my past. And it's interesting because there's so much propaganda about MDMA and what it does. It's one of the more interesting drugs because, you know, like you shoot heroin, right? And heroin fucks you up or, you know, whatever. You drink alcohol fucks you up, right? Whatever. But what MDMA does is very interesting because the drug itself doesn't actually, you don't get fucked up. It doesn't have like a narcotic effect on your body. Well, if they cut it with bullshit, it was. But pure pharmaceutical grade MDMA actually causes your pineal gland, your third eye, to flood the body with serotonin. So the effect you get from it is the natural effect of your body's serotonin flooding through your body. That's why it's different for everybody. And the idea of that having positive effects doesn't surprise me in the least bit. You guys have all, I'm sure, heard about spider goats. I got to tell you what, I will never forget the time I first heard about spider goats. That was one of those fucking... The first time I heard about spider goats, I just threw my fucking hands in there. I was like, come on now, man. And I'll believe a lot. I believe there's extraterrestrials. I believe there's a new world order. I believe Jesus was an alien, whatever have you. But, dude, spider goats, really? Come on. Well, here we go. Spider goats are back in the news. Listen to this. Making science fiction a reality, bulletproof human skin made from spider silk and goat milk developed by researchers. That's what it does. They genetically created a spider and a goat together. And it creates this silk that they make Kevlar out of. But apparently now they've made... God, I hate those fucking new pop-ups they have where you just roll your mouse over them and they automatically pop up. That's such bullshit. Those ought to be illegal. Let me drop this in the chat room for you before I read it here. It might look like a poorly drawn picture of an alien. It's the alien thing again. But this one is actually one of the most advanced types of skin ever made that can even stop bullets. Researchers genetically engineered goats to produce milk, which is packed with the same protein as silk spiders. Once this is milked out, it can be spun out and weaved into a material that is 10 times stronger than steel. The fabric can then be blended with human skin to make what the scientists hope will be tough enough to stop even a bullet. There it is. They've been talking about it for years. I remember telling people about the whole spider goat thing. Oh, well, ain't no spider goats. Yeah, sure enough, there are fucking spider goats. I know. I didn't want to believe it either. Well, it's getting late. I gotta burn through this news. I gotta get into reading Lost Book of Enki tonight. So I'll just hit the long and the short of this news real quick. There's some of this stuff I gotta at least mention. CBS News out of Pittsburgh, school district offering drug testing kits to parents. Well, that's good quality. Test kits will be available to parents, middle school students. Yeah. And next thing you know, they'll be sending them home and telling them that they need the parents to pee in the cup too. Christ. Rewinding evolution, scientists alter chicken DNA to create embryo with alligator-like snout. Well, you thought spider goats were crazy. Now we're going to have a chicken with an alligator snout. Alligator's good eating, boy. You ever had alligator before? Dipping in some ranch dressing. That's good eating. So I guess if you cross an alligator and a chicken, you still wind up with something that tastes like fucking chicken, don't you? And you know the whole thing about which came first, the chicken or the egg, you know, the unending paradox of, well, you know what solves that riddle, don't you? The Anunnaki. Remember in the Lost Book of Enki, they talked about breeding all the animals from Nibiru? Well, that's why. That's why they could never figure out which came first, the chicken or the egg. Brought those motherfuckers from an alien planet. I got to mention this. This has been scrubbed from every it was in the New York Times. It was on the Daily Kos. Every news place this has been reported at has been, it's been scrubbed and taken down from. So I'm going to drop it in the chat room for you guys in Manhydra. If you're listening, buddy, maybe we can get that up on the news as well. Cause it's been scrubbed from every other news site I've found it on, but this is unbelievably big news. It has been confirmed that Blackwater, the private for-profit mercenary corporation that killed 17 civilians in Nisour Square in Baghdad in 2007, is being contracted by Verizon for security purposes. At this moment, CWA Local 1104, the union that represents some of the striking workers, was not able to say how many security contractors have been hired or where they will be working, but they did confirm the company has been hired by the Bohemian Corporation. Verizon has now hired Blackwater as strike busters. Well, that's scary. I mean, we are in the Fourth Reich. If you had any sort of doubts about that, please flush those down the toilet now. IBM has unveiled a new experimental computer chip that it says mimics the human brain in that it perceives, acts, and even thinks. Well, here we are now. I mean, that's really all they need, isn't it? Transhumanists, the merging with machines is now upon us. All right, so we got through all that news. Let me get a drink here. Isn't that a bummer? I want to go take a drink, and my cup is empty. Balls! All right, I'm going to have to suck it up and go dry mouth on this one. Page 234, Lost Book of Enki. Now, this is the account of the new place of the celestial chariots. Without further ado, I'm going to jump right into this tonight. This is the account of the new place of the chariots, of the celestial chariots, and the artifice twin mounts, and how the image of the lion was usurped by Marduk. In the peninsula that was chosen by the Anunnaki, the heavenly ways of Anu and Enlil on earth were reflected. Let the new place of the chariots be located precisely on that boundary. Let the heart of the plain reflect the heavens. So did Enlil suggest to Enki. Once Enki agreed to this, Enlil from the skies took measure of the distances. On a tablet, a grand design for all to see, he marked out. Let the landing place in the Cedar Mountains be a part of the facilities, he said. the distance between the landing place and the chariot place he measured. In the midst, therefore, a place for a new mission control center he designated. There, a suitable mount he selected. The Mount of Way Showing, he named it. A platform of stones akin to, but smaller than that of the landing place, he ordered to be built there. In its midst, a great rock was carved inside and out. To house a new bond to heaven and earth, it was made. Sounds like fucking NORAD, doesn't it? Sounds like Cheyenne Mountain. Maybe we didn't really carve that rock out and put our military stuff in there. Maybe it was already there for us. Ever think about that? A new navel of the earth. The role of the Nibiru key to replace the deluge. The landing path on the twin peaks of Arata in the north were anchored. To demarcate the landing corridor in Lil required two other sets of twin peaks. To delimit the landing corridor's boundary to secure ascent and descent. In the southern part of the desolate peninsula, a place of mountains. In Lil selected twin adjoining peaks. Of them, the southern delimit he anchored. Where the second set of twin peaks was required, mountains, there were none. Only a flat land above the water-clogged valley from the ground protruded. Artificial peaks thereon we can raise, Ningajita said to the leaders. On a tablet, the image of a smooth-sided skyward rising peaks he drew for them. If it can be done, let it so be, Enlil said with approval. Let them also serve as beacons. On the flat land above the river's valley, Ningajita built a scale model. The rising angles and the four smooth sides with it, he perfected. Next to it, a larger peak he placed, its sides to Earth's four corners he set. By the Anunnaki, with their tools of power, its stones were cut and erected. There we go. We have extraterrestrials cutting stones and placing them. We have that all over the planet. What's that place you always see David Hatcher Childress foaming at the mouth about when he's on Ancient Aliens? Sexy woman. I love David Hatcher Childress. He's awesome. I already get that guy on. We always crack up because he's so funny. He's like, oh, there might be aliens. Sexy one. There's this place in South America where these giant fucking stones, precision cut and placed together. It's called SACHYWAMAN, but the only no way you could say it. It just sounds like sexy woman. But it's called, and David Hatcher Childress is like, sexy woman. It's aliens. That's crazy. He's probably going to hear this and go, oh, I hate you. I'm never coming on your show. But yeah, I don't mean any disrespect by it. It's just funny to me. People make fun of the way I talk all the time, so, you know, equal time. Beside it, in a precise location, the peak in its twin he placed. With galleries and chambers for pulsating crystals, he designed it. Sounds like the Fortress of Solitude where Superman used to fly to, right? With this artful peak to the heavens rose, to place it upon the capstone, the leaders were invited. Of electrum and admixture by Gibble fashioned, and the apex stone was made. The sunlight reflected it to the horizon. By night, it was like a pillar of fire. The power of all the crystals focused its beam to the heavens. When the artful works by Ningajita were designed, they were completed and ready. The Anunnaki leaders entered the great twin peak, and they marveled at what they saw. Ikur House, which was like a mountain, they named it. A beacon to the heavens, it was. That the Anunnaki survived the deluge and prevailed forever, it proclaimed. Now, the new place of the celestial chariots can receive gold from across the seas. from its chariots. For survival, it shall carry the goal to Nibiru. From it to the east, where the sun on the designated day rises, they will ascend. To it, the southwest, where the sun on the designated day sets, they will descend. Then Enlil, by his own hand, activated the Nibiru crystals. Inside, eerie lights began to flicker, and an enchanting hum broke the stillness. Outside, the capstone all at once was shining, brighter than the sun it was. Are they talking about building the Great Pyramids here, aren't they? Because the Great Pyramids were declinated as a navigational device. The Great Pyramids actually originally were had limestone on the outer. They would, you know, they were, when the sun reflected them, they were bright. They would reflect the sun. I don't know if that's what they're talking about here. I'm just speculating, but it does kind of seem like it. The multitude of assembled Anunnaki cried a great cry of joy. Nenma was moved by the occasion and recited a poem and sang. House that is like a mountain. House with a pointed peak. There you go. For heaven and earth is equipped. It is the handiwork of the Anunnaki. House bright and dark. House of heaven and earth. For the celestial boats it was put together and built by the Anunnaki. House whose interior with a reddish light of heaven glows. A pulsating beam that far and high reaches and emits. Lofty mountain of mountains, great and lofty fashion. By the understandings of earthlings it is. House of equipment, lofty house of eternity. Its foundation stones touch the waters. Its great circumference is set in clay. House whose parts are skillfully together woven. The great ones who circle in the skies make a descent to a resting place. House that for the rocket ships is a landmark, but with unfathomable insides. By Anu himself is the Ikur blessed. Thus did Nenma at the celebration recite and sing. While the Anunnaki were celebrating their remarkable handiwork, Enki made words of suggestion to Enlil. When in the future days it will be asked, when and by whom has this marvel been fashioned? Let us, beside the twin peaks, create a monument. Let it announce the age of the lion. There you go, the great Sphinx. And that's interesting because it's so interesting that they would talk about, you know, creating the pyramids and creating that as a line. And, you know, that was where it was lined up at the time to the constellation Leo 10,000 years ago. Or it's just amazing because Manly P. Hall, in his book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, talks about the initiate or into the mystery religions and the mystery schools, you know, the secret societies, probably the Brotherhood of the Serpent as well, Brotherhood of the Snake, which Enki founded. The final test, he would go inside a secret corridor that was located inside the Great Sphinx. And he would be wearing these ethereal temple garments, like a robe that was made out of energy or light. And that there would be the final test, this big, gigantic, all-seeing eye would appear, threatening and, I'm going to kill you, And then, you know, he would just stand there unafraid and it would disappear and then, you know, boom, you're an initiate now. And it's interesting because those same correlations are talked about in the Tibetan Book of the Dead. After death, you know, after death, you're going to see all these monsters and scary things that are going to try to scare you into taking the easy route and, you know, being scared through fear into coming back down and inhabiting into another fragile human body on Earth instead of ascending to a higher plane. And that's what keeps it going because the ignorance of being uninformed in the earthly planes leads us into having fear after death, and that's what keeps us constantly inhabiting in the cycles of misery down here on earth, samsara, as the Buddhists call it. So again, it's amazing just to have all this knowledge and to see these correlations and reading this stuff. Just absolutely mind-blowing stuff, man. Hard to deny for me that all this is real. The image of Ningxia let its face... Oh! Ha! So the face of the Sphinx is Ningxia. This is why the face has been desecrated and why they did